Amen, amen. Lord, we just thank you that we can come together and worship you, look into your word, and have you teach us. And Lord, we just, I just pray you would just open our hearts to receive what you have to say. And I pray that you would just anoint me specifically, just to fill me with your spirit, and that I could speak your words, and that each heart would be open to receive. So, Lord, again, we thank you that we can come together, and we thank you that you care for us, protect us, and lead us, and, God, that we can rest in just security that's yours and yours alone. So, God, we give you this service, and, God, we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. How you like my title? Yeah, I thought you all would love that. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 5, verse 11. It says this: about this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull of hearing. And I'll let you know up front, this message is not to anyone in this sanctuary. It's not. I have a totally different view of each one of you, and know you well. But what it is here, it's interesting, is we've been going through Hebrews, that he puts this in at this time. It's this time. He's making a point. And as we go over it, and we're going to go over these verses, I think there's a lot to learn here, and we can have some insight about what God is saying overall. And so what you see here, I think if you have an NIV, I think it says, instead of says dull of hearing, it says something, you're not understanding, or something like that, okay? It's literally, you're dull of hearing. You're dull of hearing, okay? And that's the reason one's not understanding, is that they're dull of hearing. So we look at this, and we see this was placed in Hebrews at this time for a reason. And so we want to get our arms around that. And the message is a warning. It's a warning to those who are dull of hearing to the things of God. That's where he's coming at. He's making this point right here. Now, in saying this, he goes on and he admits, Hebrews admits, that it has some things that are hard to explain. So he says there's things hard to explain. Now, granted, up to this point, we have went through some stuff that are hard to explain. Oh my goodness. I mean, it really has been some depth of what the scripture shows us here, that it's hard to understand. And so he's certainly referring to what he just said. But also, I think there's an incredible application to everything in our life as it has to do with the scriptures. Everything. It's not just these first five verses, but everything in which we deal with the Lord. So we can make an application there. And it gives us a good understanding. And so when you read this, when you read exactly what it says, he's admitting that there are some things that are hard to explain. But part of the problem is that the people are not in a position to receive it. And he's okay, I know this is hard, but it's a bunch of you, you're just not in a point to receive what I have to say. So he's kind of, you know, he kind of bounces the ball to them. So if you were paying attention, or if you were, you know, seeking out to understand what you would understand this. It's hard. But part of the problem is you're just dull of hearing. So it's like, I mean, that could, you know, that could be kind of offensive. You know, it's like, but this is where he comes from. And so we look at this and you think, well, what, you know, why are people dull of hearing? Why would people that, you know, receive Christ and come to church, and why would they be dull of hearing? And although it doesn't say it, we know through Scripture, you know, that this may be due to just a love of the world. There's, when you love the world, the Bible really clear says when there's a love of the world, there's a dullness. There starts coming a dullness in your ability to hear God. To hear God. It may mean, you know, blinded by sin. Once someone grasps into a particular sin, it's that they have a hard time seeing beyond that. And so there's a, within their life, there's a, they don't have the capacity to do what they're supposed to do or even see what they're supposed to do. Or you just be lazy. Just lazy. You know, I'm not going to do anything, you know. So just having all those things that you know, instead of examining why someone's dull, it's like, well, no, what do you do to hear? What do you do to hear? So look on the positive side of this. But it's very noticeable here. It's very noticeable that this being dull of hearing, that there's a direct relationship between the people's spiritual condition and their understanding. And this is something we need to realize. You know, it's, I just don't understand. And after a while, it's, wait a minute, you're not understanding because of something within yourself, your own spiritual condition, that you're not understanding. And that's what he's addressing. He said, folks, you need to address your own spiritual condition. And as you address your own spiritual condition, then you can hear. Then you can hear. And so this is the point he's coming at here. Now, so the next admonition he makes is tied to this, and it makes sense. He says in verse 12, Hebrews 5:12 says, in fact, I'm telling you, you're not only you dull of hearing, in fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. It's just the same thing. You know, just come back, same message, just reinforce the same message. You know, can't get past the basic elementary things. In fact, you just are repeating the elementary things all the time. You can't get past those. People can't get past those. Sometimes the teacher, it may be the teacher's fault. That's, well, I'm doing the best I can. But what he's saying here is, no, this is the student's fault. This is the student's fault. You're not in a position and you're not hearing. You're not hearing, and it's reflective of your condition. So this is, you know, he's like, okay. Okay, so you have this. Now, these people should be teachers. They need to be teachers, but they have to be repeatedly. Now, this is the key. Repeat, not new information. They have to be repeatedly taught, going over the same things, the elementary truths of God's word. Now, granted, when we go through something like this and hearing from the Lord or doing what the Lord says and, you know, seeking after him, there is a growth process. And the Bible's full of, there's a growth process. There's other verses we could look at that talks about this growth process that believers grow. And in this growth process, there's grades of understanding. And the Bible is real clear. There's grades of understanding. The more time you spend time, you can understand more things. And so, and we're encouraged to do that, to continue to grow in him. So we understand that there's grades of understanding. And there's one point like, okay, I'm just in, you know, grade two in my understanding, then to be grade two, and I keep getting repeat the same information, and I can't ever leave grade two. So there's two different things going on here, okay? And so there's a process of understanding, but sometimes the understanding comes just because spiritually not listening, spiritually not receiving, spiritually not stepping up. And so this is what he's saying here. Right here he says, you know, you should be teachers, but you just have to have people teach you. We just continually teach you. And you ought, with what's been presented, you should be teachers with this information. Now, when we look at this, he goes on to explain it. And it really is fascinating to me, but he uses a physical that parallels the spiritual. He said, I'm going to give you a physical, and this physical example is going to parallel the spiritual, okay? And so Hebrews continues. He's making this point. Hebrews continues, and in Hebrews 5:12, it's actually 12b, last part of 12, Hebrews 5:12 through 13. He says, This is the issue. You need milk, not solid food. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled. And that word unskilled means inexperienced. For everyone who lives on milk is unskilled, inexperienced in the word of righteousness, since he is a child, an infant. And just kind of make it worse. It's infant. It's like you get really, it's like a suckling babe. I mean, they're not moving. They're not moving. I mean, it's like, no, that's it. That's as far as I'm going. And hallelujah. And so if it's an infant, I would have a picture. Don't you love babies? Okay, I mean, you love babies, just babies, you know. What if you just 15 years later, you know, how many of you have a 15-year-old? And you're just cuddling him up, you know. Say, come on, buddy, something's got to change here. This is what he's saying. Babies are cute, but you're not supposed to stay one. You're not supposed to stay one. See? So here's the whole picture that he's given here. Now, milk stands for elementary instruction. That's what he's talking about. And it's used all through scriptures. And I think it's 1 Peter, and it says, desire the pure milk of the word. So, you know, desire the milk of the word, you know. But it's elementary teaching, those basic things, the elementary teachings. Now, solid food is more advanced instruction. Solid food is more advanced instruction. And I say more advanced because people, and when I say levels, it's not a spiritual level. It's not a, you know, quality of life level. It's a level of understanding, level of understanding. And I think about things in my life that listening to people, and I'm going, man, that sounds great. They must have a great relationship with the Lord. I don't have a clue what they said. I don't know, but it's good. And I think they're right. But I can't figure it out. We're reading, just brings to mind this Saving Life of Christ by Ian Thomas. And so, I mean, it's unbelievable things that just reading it, how he penetrates, you know, your heart. And I've just, things are popping out and I'm recording it, you know, reading the book. I read that book 35 years ago. It's like, no, I think this must be a new edition. No, it's not. It's the same book I read. I've got old notes in it. I actually met Ian Thomas. We met, I talked to him. You know, it's like that. He's one of those guys like, oh my gosh, I can't believe what he said. It's just such mind-boggling. And then I'm reading it again. It's like, I didn't understand the thing he's saying. Not nothing. I didn't understand. And I'm like, good grief. See? Well, that's a growth process in learning. It's not a bad thing, but it's what, and we all want to be in that position where we grow, we learn something, and it penetrates our heart. But you have to take that step, all right, and you into that solid food, and we grow. And this is what solid food is, more advanced instruction. Now, the Christian occupied with elementary truth is spiritually still an infant, and must be treated as such. You know, it's elders aren't supposed, infants aren't supposed to be elders. You don't do that. I mean, would you put, give your infant the car keys? You love them, and they're growing, but they're just not there yet. See, the whole process, so he's trying to make us to understand stuff, but when they're an infant, they have to be treated like an infant. They have to be treated like an infant. Love them to death, you know, but they have to be treated like an infant. I could go through a couple of analogies, but I'll just stop. There we go. So you have the thought here. So what we have here An infant is unskilled without experience. Unskilled without any experience. Now we're talking about spiritual experience. Unskilled. I love you. Is an infant happy to be alive? Right? You throw them up in the air and they giggle and squeal, and you throw them up in there and put them, they're happy to be alive, you know. But they're not skilled in any experience. You know, I need you to go to the grocery store. No, I just want you to pitch me up and catch me, and I giggle. You know, and they're alive and you're happy with them. Jesus is happy with them. But you can't treat them more than an infant. They may have a beard. They may have a beard. But you can't, you have to treat them like an infant. You see? They're just not there. They're just not there. Now again, just for understanding, a lot of times they're not there because of them. Not you. Because of them. Now you can enable and be part of the problem. But a lot of times, you know, in the Christian walk, people stay infants because they're not hearing. They're being dull of hearing. You know, it's more fun to be with mom and dad and being thrown up and giggle and making them catch you. You know, see. So here's the whole process. So he is unskilled. So he is unskilled without experience. He's talking about spiritual experience. Now, and this is such a truth, and at my age, you see it, have seen it, and it says, always in the Christian life, one either moves forward or slips back. It's almost impossible. I'm going to say not almost impossible. It's impossible to stand still. I'm happy here. Okay. I'm just going to tread water. No, you're going to go back or you're going to go forward. You're going to go back. You will not stand still. If somebody's standing still, don't be fooled. They're going back or they're going forward. See, and so you have to understand why. Because you have the Holy Spirit of God indwelling you, and he is moving you and stirring you. And so you're either being, you know, prompted or resisting. Because he's moving. You know, he's moving. He's within you. By definition, he has to be. So anyway, either one way, you're going forward or you're slipping backwards. Now, the Apostle Paul says this at 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. And it's interesting, when we look at these verses are written to Christians. These are two Christians, all right? And so here's one that the Apostle Paul's, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 2. He says, "But I, brothers, could not address you as spiritual people, but as people of the flesh, as infants, suckling babies in Christ. I fed you with milk, not solid food, for you were not ready for it." I just, you know, I'm going to go speak to this church. We'll bring a whole wagon full of bottles. That's all we're going to get done here. You know, I'm going to this group of people, and oh man, we can really grill some steaks with these folks. See? But it depends, again, there's nothing wrong, but it says desire the milk of the word. It says that. Desire that. But you desire it, but it leads you to grilling steaks. Okay, and so God is teaching us to desire him, and as we step into him, he takes us to a deeper level of understanding. Like, and seriously, 35 years ago when I read this book on Ian Thomas, I mean, I thought, oh my gosh, you know, I mean, it's like I had made a quantum leap in my understanding at that time, you know. Now that I'm here, I'm going, that wasn't so quantum. It's like an inch step, you know. But it was a big deal for me at the time. But I'm looking back, okay, at least I made progress, you know. I knew that. So it's good. You kind of, and then also you learn how to walk with people. You know, hey, the baby, there, a bottle. You're excited. Babies are fun. You feed them the bottle. Okay? But then as you walk with people, you kind of wean them off the bottle, give them some solid food, and then you develop, and you start walking with them. See, that's discipleship. See, you're excited. And we're just never to get to a point and just stay there. Just stay there, you know. There's no staying there. Who in here is as perfect as Jesus? If you raise your hand, you have to leave. But anyway, who in here is as perfect as Jesus? All right. Well, you're not. Who in here is going to be as perfect as Jesus before you die? You're not. So what are you doing between now and you die? You're growing. You're growing. You don't get there. You don't get there. Okay? You're just growing. You're constantly growing. He's constantly revealing things to you. Just like God gave me us that book that I read 35 years ago. He said, now read it this time. I see you weren't even close. Okay. Read it this time. It's like, oh my gosh. You know, he changed it. Except it's yellow and it's the same book I bought when he gave me. Same book. Now, no one wants to remain a perpetual child. We all should seek food and maturity. We should seek solid food and maturity. The experienced Christian knows that he needs strong meat to attain that kind of maturity. See, so it's a process. And we're talking about the relationship with the Lord, but he's trying to bring it down to a point of step, how we get there, how we move forward there. Now he comes up, and this is the verse we're going to just kind of, this is the climax of his point here. But we're going to look at it because it's insightful in what he says. You know, he says, you know, to counter the being dull of hearing. So he counters that being dull of hearing with this verse. So look at Hebrews 5:14. So he's bringing it down to this point. So, okay, now I want you to put your arms around this is what he's saying. Hebrews 5:14. But solid food is for the mature. Your suckling baby. Hey, you've done it. Had a little baby. You ever stick a steak in his mouth? He just cough and spit it out. You give a suckling baby responsibilities they can't handle. They just cough and spit it out all over you. Just like the baby spit all out of you. See what I'm saying? God's pictures are just really great. You know, you say, oh, that's what happened. That's what happened. See, but solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good and evil. He's a believer. Why did he do that? What was he thinking? You know, he was either where he wasn't should have been, or he, you know, somebody didn't come alongside, you know, and he definitely hadn't spending much food time with solid food. He got there by being on milk. He got there by being on milk. You see what I'm saying? So we reach here. The solid food is for the mature. Mature. For those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice to distinguish good from evil. This explains to you the Christian walk, the church. Right here. Somebody in the church does something really stupid, you shouldn't be surprised. You just know where they are. Okay? And that's not a bad thing. That's not a bad thing. And what you do, it's like, I know you're choking to death on this steak and throwing up on everybody. Let me put my arm around and say, we need over here. And you take them in and you start drinking some milk together. You start drinking some milk together. And then they start drinking some milk. Then all of a sudden, they're growing some discernment. And then they'll be the first one. Well, my goodness, I can't believe I did that. Me neither, but you did. You understand the church. You understand believers. How many of you have looked at a believer and said, I can't believe they did that? See? God goes, I can't. I totally can believe they did that. So he's given us an insight here of how to walk with people, to understand what's happening in church, understand our own lives. You ever do something and you go, I can't believe I did that. Oh my gosh. You know, same thing. So what we have here is we have, and we will spend some time here, the mature who chew on solid food of the Word of God develop their powers of discernment. Notice the word, power of discernment. Just what is that? Oh, really? Hey, let's do, don't know about that. You know, it's all of a sudden you can see. All of a sudden you can see. All of a sudden you know what to say. You ever had a Christian come up and give you a word and you never want to hear from them ever again? Because they have no discernment. They have no discernment. See, so it's all, so we're having the understanding that discernment comes from what? Solid food. Solid food. So, chewing on the solid food develops the power of discernment. All of a sudden, you know, you're making things happen. All of a sudden, you can see things. All of a sudden, you know what to, all of a sudden, you know not what to, all of a sudden, you perceive how to move into situations. Why? You eat solid food. And the solid food here is the Word of God. You're getting into the Word of God. Now, this literally means, our powers of discernment, this literally means our ability to perceive. Now, I know I'm repeating it, but sometimes you get it. Our ability to perceive. You understand that you perceive. You ever notice people are just different? All of them, you know, different places, just everything, you know. And God gives you an ability to perceive what they are, what to say, what to not say, how to come along. You see? Solid food, our ability to perceive, our capacity to understand the real nature of any situation we face. You see what he's saying now? You know what he's saying? I mean, he's putting the ball in the park. He said, when you're on solid food, and you're the things, and you're living off that solid food, there's a capacity to understand. I don't understand. I say that to God all the time, and he, I don't say it to you, but I tell him. I don't understand. Where's the issue? I have no capacity, you know? I mean, because he doesn't say anything to me, I think that's the way, you know, it's not going to bother telling you. You're not going to be good. You have no capacity to understand. Now, I'm making a point. You live on solid food. You have the powers of discernment. You have a capacity to understand the real nature of any situation you face. You understand? Okay, I know what's happening. How? Because you have solid food. Now, and you can understand the nature of any situation you're in. Okay? Now, life is, if you haven't noticed this, life is a series of decisions. I mean, we're going to make 100 before night, okay? Life is full of a series of decisions, one decision. And solid food enables us to make good decisions. There it is. I don't like to answer, and I want somebody to tell me, and this is too complicated, and I shouldn't be here. So you may not should be there, and that may be the issue. But if you are there, that means that you should have the capacity to make the decisions where you are. Or maybe God messed up by putting you there. Maybe. See? No. He put you in a situation, you're saying, you know, I think I should have had a steak before I came here. Lordy be, you know? See, and he does that sometimes, like, oh my gosh, I need to go back, you know, and get some solid food here because I'm totally out of my element. You recognize, and God's shown you, you need to go back and recognize the element you're in. You have this eating of solid food, the powers of discernment mean you have the ability, the nature to understand. How many things in your life you go, I don't understand? He can, no, you, I'll give you the ability to understand. You spend time in the solid food, I'll give you the ability to understand. This is what this is saying here. This is what, and you know, as I hear this, this guy is not giving these people he's talking to any slack. None. He's not giving them any slack. He said, no, you got everything here. If there's a problem with you, it's because you're dull of hearing. Now, I'm not saying that to y'all. He just said it to them. Okay? That's what he said to them. All right. So now we look at here. So we're going to look at 3 points here of what he said. It's fascinating about how we... the powers of discernment, how they come about. Y'all ready for this? You know, now it's the Word of God, okay? That's the solid food. Okay, that's the solid food. It is the Word of God. Not the milk of repeating the gospel and gospel over and over again. Okay, this is solid food. And this is how a person develops to have this power of discernment. Number one, there's three here. Number one, this comes by being trained through the solid food of the Word of God. You see that up there, the word trained. Trained. This comes by being trained through the solid food of the Word of God. This requires effort on our part. I don't want to get up. I don't want to read my mama. At night, I'm too tired. Maybe if Jesus would come upon me, I'd read it. Maybe if I got baptized in the Spirit, I'd read it. Maybe if my wife would holler at me, I'd read it. No, it takes some effort. You make a decision. Why? Because I want to make a decision for God to understand the things of God. And it says here, powers of discernment. You know, I just want to sleep in late and God just give me powers of discernment. See? So the point is, you're trained. The word there is trained. Now, you're going to love this. This requires effort on our part. Train literally means physical exercise. He said, be trained in the word, but it literally means physical exercise. We get our word gymnastic from this Greek word, gymnastics. You go, wait a minute. This means that, like, we have to dedicate ourselves to the Word of God, like a gymnast. That's what it said, like a gymnast. And it's like, are we a gymnast that trains once a month? Going to the Olympics once a month. How many people that train once a month and tell you they're going to the Olympics? You know? Hey, once a week. And then I'm going to the Olympics. You know? No. Daily. Maybe you have a shot now. If you're a gymnast, you train every single day. And when you look at those that are really good, they train all the time. They train all the time. All right? You know, it's true of any physical situation almost. But you look at these gymnasts do something, and you think, man, that looks easy. That's incredible. I mean, looks so great. That just looks easy, you know. Now, that's... hours and hours and hours and hours. Blood, sweat, and tears. And it looks easy. See, He says, you need to train like a gymnast. Read the word like a gymnast trains. Oh, that's how you do this. This is how you do this. Okay, so train. Now, number two in this, what it says here, number two, for the mature, our training is accompanied by constant practice. Okay, it reads like that. Train by constant practice. All right. So when our training is a training of constant practice, that means repetitive experience. Constant practice, repetitive experience. Interesting word here. It's only used here in the whole New Testament. It's only used here. And it has another meaning, which is fascinating to me. It's habit. Train until it becomes a habit. What did you do? You did this and it had you. I don't know. I just did it. I wasn't even thinking about it. That's just how I've always done it. It's just a habit. That's what he's saying. You train until it's a habit. It's a habit. Spiritual maturity comes neither from isolated events nor from great spiritual burst. Oh, I am mature because such and such happened. You might be something, but you're not mature. You know, or I'm mature because this great spiritual burst in the Lord came upon me, and, you know. Mature. No, you're not. It's just, you're at the moment, you're fired up and had some insight, but you didn't mature, and there's no habit. See, this comes from a steady application of spiritual discipline. In the church, just watch, you get old enough, you see it. Oh, the Lord came upon me, and this is what we're to do, and this is what we're going to do, and I'm there. You go, I believe the Lord's speaking to you. I will have to see a lot more before I think you're there. I'll try to walk with you to get there, but you don't have an immediate, oh, I am this. No, you don't. There's a training. The training till it's a habit, and by that repetition, your actions become like a habit as you function. You see what I'm saying? This is what this is saying. And it's using this particular word to communicate that. So, I saw this guy, there's a friend, years and years ago, and he went through a really tough situation, you know. I mean, it's a week, kind of tough. And he came to me and he said, you know, I'm broken before the Lord and I'll never be the same. And I'm going, you want to say, no, you're not. You're not. I mean, it's tough what you went through, but there ain't no way you're broken toward the Lord. You're not there. There's no perseverance. There's no development. There's no ability for you to go on. You know, there's no doubt that you had an event here, you know. But you're not mature. An event doesn't make you mature. How many of your children? I always like picking on y'all's children. Mom, I'm mature. Today, I got it. I'm mature. Bless your little heart. You know. And you know good and well, you need to pat him on the head until he just absolutely blows it over here. See, that's the same thing in Christian life. Now, you're not mature from a single event. People throw, oh, I was baptized in the Holy Spirit and now I'm mature. Maybe he's baptized in the Holy Spirit. You ain't mature. It's not. You can't be. It's impossible. You see what I'm saying? It's impossible. And so, well, what do you do? He says, I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit. Now I'm just using these terms because you hear I'm baptized in the Holy Spirit, and you know he's a suckling baby. You know, I don't know, we'll work with him best we can, get him out of this. I think he's fired up. But we need to get this boy on some steak, you know, some baby food and then some steaks. And if we can keep him focused, and then he can take off, we hope we can walk with him and get him there. Y'all see what I'm saying? See, that's maturity. And this word uses mature. Maturity. You're not mature based on an event. You're not. You're not. So, anyway, this guy that told me, I just was nice to him. I pitched him up in there and he giggled and stuff. And he just burned out. Okay. Months later, he just burned out. You know, it's just like, anyway. So you there. It's constant practice. It becomes a habit. You don't even think about it. When you're eating solid food, you do things you don't even have. It's a habit. You just naturally do that because of the constant practice. Okay, the third one here. The mature who live off the steady, solid food of the Word of God learn to distinguish. Learn to distinguish good from evil. You told me so-and-so did what? You gotta be kidding me. You got to be kidding me. How? Because they haven't learned to distinguish good from evil. They must not be saved. No, they're just sucking a bottle. Good God Almighty. You know, it's just like, so here, I'm just going to smack them around, throw them out of the church, you know, let them roll around out in the yard in their diaper. No. Come alongside and put your arm around and you talk to them and you're trying to bring up and says, we need to get you off the bottle and on some baby food here and maybe feed some steak and maybe have some concept to understand what you're doing. That's discipleship. That's the reason we have elders in the church. That's why, you know, sometimes you just like, oh gosh, I don't want to do this. I don't want to talk to this. I don't want to do it. You know. But no, that's what you have to do. Because they don't understand. They don't understand. So again, apply it to yourself. You apply it to other. He's just giving this insight here. So the mature, if they're on solid foot, people on solid foot can distinguish. They can distinguish between things. They have to, okay. Now, Distinguish means the ability to decide. The ability to make a decision. That's what it means. The ability, I can't make a decision, I don't know. What does that tell you? What does that tell you spiritually? Okay, love, I just don't milk. All right, you know, okay. We try to walk them through to help them to make a decision by feeding them some baby food, and hopefully they'll get some more solid food on steaks, you know, and then they can be able to make their own decisions. Okay, so you see, it helps you also to understand where people are. Don't get mad at them. I mean, you know, you should feel sorry for them. They're 65 years old and drinking a bottle. I mean, that's kind of embarrassing, but that's the issue. But that's the issue. See, that's what's happening. How can they love Jesus and do that? Just staying home and sucking the bottle. That's how you do it. It's fascinating what's put here. Okay, so when we look at this, this means to say you can make a decision. You've got that. You can make a decision because you've been on solid food. You can make it. Based on what God's showing you. Now, and this is another word. By the way, this is another word that's without parallel in the New Testament. This is the only place it's used. This is the second word. It's the only place it's used. Okay? And it is indicating the ability to make a decision. How many? We live through life of decisions all day long. See? And we grow through making those decisions. ability to make a decision. This skill shows you the difference between the mature and the immature. It's lived out in evidence, and it doesn't take you long to figure it out. It's just what it is. Now, I want to make a little note here. Verse 14, this is fascinating, and I think this is very helpful. In verse 14, it says this, it says constant practice to distinguish. You see that? Constant practice to distinguish. The word to, the T-O, it's an interesting little word. I looked at that, and it literally means side by side. That T-O is okay, but it literally means side by side. Constant practice goes side by side to be able to make a good decision. Constant practice goes side by side to distinguish. If you don't practice and do something, you can't ever make a decision. You got to do something. You know, failure is a wonderful teacher. I mean, it really is good. We don't like it. But you see that? So, practice goes side to be able to make a decision. This is a reason if you want information on how to raise your children, you usually talk to another mother or father. Right? Because what's they've had some constant practice and they can make a decision. That's the reason you don't particularly want to talk to someone who doesn't have children on how to raise your children, because they have no practice. They may have read a book, but they have no practice. Do you see the example? And so they don't have the experience. They don't have any practice to make a good decision. I mean, I explain so much in the entire world here. All right? Consuming the solid word of God, we must also grow by constant practice to have the ability to make decisions and live out the word of God. Amen? Now, do you know what else he said here? What he said? I'm going to summarize. He said, you ought to be teachers. Now, I am going to say that to you all. You ought to be teachers. Every one of you. You ought to be, without excuse, you ought to be. I know you. Well, you ought to be teachers. You are teachers. You're not babies. You're not babies. But that's the point. It says you have the capacity to teach. Now, first of all, just don't be intimidated what this says. Okay, I've got to be, and I've got to know all the big Hebrews and memorize all that, and I can teach. That's not what he's talking about. That's not what we're talking about. God calls some people to do that, you know, and they're usually no fun to be around anyway, okay? So, my wife winked at me. I don't know how I take that. No. So, the whole point of it is you should be teachers. Don't be intimidated, because the number one thing you have, number one, everybody has in here, is you have your story. Your story. Your story is a lesson to anybody else about the move of God, and nobody can disclaim it because it's your story. So right there, you have the ability. You ought to be a teacher because you have your story. Amen? We had, last week, Adam will appreciate this. Greg was gone skiing. Adam calls up. He's sick at 8 o'clock. He texted me. Sick, ain't come there. So, this is, dear Jesus, I can't sing. What am I going to do? You know, what in the world? 8 o'clock, you know? I'm not even dressed. It's like, what in the world do you do that? I'm not picking on Adam. I'm just saying what happened here. And so I think, well, what should you do? And I'm saying, well, I don't want to come in. It's about, you know, the word being alive and active. And, you know, how do you prep you to talk to people? And then I think it's the Holy Spirit said, why don't you just let people tell what that means? And I said, okay, that's what I'll do. And so what I did, nobody had but like two minute prep. I came in. I had for Katie. I said, would you share first when the word became alive to you? She said, oh, sure. She went. I says, now. She goes, now? That was right. And so I got Carlos and Woods and Ray. Okay? No prep. Nothing. They didn't have me have to get their thought. No prep. Okay? And so we introduced them. And they said, it was probably the best service we had in the last 5 years. Probably the best service. See? What was the message they taught? Their story. Their story. Now, I must admit to you, I was a little offended. I mean, I tried to. After each one of them, everybody clapped. Nobody clapped for me. Nobody. But you see what I'm saying here? You ought to be teachers. Why? Your story cannot be denied. Things, well, I don't believe that. I don't care what you believe. This is what happened to me. And that's something people, you know, can't get their arms around, and it really penetrates whatever your story is. Amen? Also, the most powerful message there is Jesus crucified. That's the most powerful message. The Apostle Paul, without doubt, biblically, we'll have to say the Apostle Paul was the greatest theologian that ever lived. Ever lived. In the entire Bible, he's the greatest theologian. He was the greatest teacher that ever lived. Listen to what Paul said, 1 Corinthians 2:2. Greatest teacher in the world, ever, in history, says, "For I decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Greatest message in the world. It's all you need. That is all you need. See, you don't have to need somebody that's memorized Hebrews, which will bore you to death. But when you come and you tell your message, and the message is about Jesus Christ and Him crucified, there's power. There's power. God moved heaven and earth. God will intervene in your situation. You know, because that's the truth from which everything springs. Now, there may a discussion come out of that, which is hallelujah. But that peace comes in, and that peace breaks through the darkness. That peace breaks down walls. Paul said, "For I have decided to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." All God's people said, amen, amen. Well, since y'all are not dull of hearing, let's pray. We'll have to sing some praises to the Lord, all right? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you very much. We just thank you for your goodness. You know, we thank you that you touched us. We thank you that you've touched us and brought us into your kingdom. And we just thank you for that. And Lord, we are excited because somehow along the way we understood Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And Lord, we are so, so thankful. And we thank you as we grow from that milk and truth of the word, if we grow from that milk, Lord, that you teach us more and more deeper things of you and open up the whole world to us and give us wisdom and discernment beyond anything of anybody around us. We thank you for that, and that we'll constantly learn and constant have insight, you know, from reading your word through and through. So we thank you for that, God. And we thank you that you've touched us, Lord. We thank you touched our family. We thank you that you protect us. And so, Lord, we just give you honor and praise. And so, God, we thank you that we are forgiven. We're thankful that we have a home in heaven. And, Lord Jesus, we want to praise you in all things. And so, dear God, we do praise you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.